News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. We got a remote broadcast going on right now. I'm down in Montgomery speaking to the Alabama Press Association. Just finished doing that a few minutes ago, and I'm now sitting in a boardroom spending some time with you guys on air. Coming into the room right now, my buddy, State Representative Ken Johnson, is going to come on the air with us. Ken and I have known each other for a while. He and I both got elected at the same time to the Alabama legislature in 2010. He represented, House District 7, I believe it was?
That is correct.
Yeah, House District 7 in the Alabama House while I was upstairs in Senate District 10. I used to come downstairs once in a while and watch Ken and the other 104 members of the House scrambling around like an anthill that had been kicked. And I remember, I think I told you one time, Ken, I said, bro, this place scares me. I'm going back upstairs to the Senate.
It's not for the faint of heart.
It's not. Go ahead and grab that mic, pull it a little closer to you, because it's you got to get right in it. Yeah, Ken Johnson, thanks for coming on, man.
Man, it's a pleasure to be with you. I hope you're having a great day.
Well, I am. I am because I'm down here with you doing what I love doing. So Ken, you stayed in the room. To back y'all up, I think I mentioned right before the break, I'm down here speaking to the Press Association. The topic of the forum that I was in was gambling in Alabama. I was the no guy on gambling in Alabama, presented my case, and then Ken stayed in the room to hear what the pro guy had to say. Ken, how'd that guy do?
Well, he did it. He did a good job. Of course, he's experienced. He's prepared. He's telling about all the virtuous things that that are accomplished and where the investments have been made, and we know that it's out there. It's out there all across the country.
Oh yeah.
They acknowledge that, as we all know, there are people who have problems, and they exist, and we know that once you and I both know that the more availability that we provide to people, I sometimes use the illustration of it's like the holiday season. A lot of us recognize that on the holiday season there's food everywhere.
Yeah,
and it's not uncommon for people to gain weight and develop problems because of accessibility.
Pick up that holiday five.
That's exactly right. Sometimes 10. And that's also part of the things that we know will happen if these things, multiple places of opportunity exist across the state, there's going to be problems.
Well, let me ask you something. You and I both spent 8 years in the legislature.
Yes, sir.
I just finished saying right before you walked in the room on the air that in 8 years in the Senate, I'll be honest, I had multiple people say they would like a chance to see a lottery in Alabama. I never had anybody say, we really want more casinos. Did you ever have any?
Never. Same thing. I've had a few or had folks that would say to me, we'd like to vote on a lottery. I think we ought to have it as people are going across state. But never did I have someone say, we need casinos.
Yeah. I mean, most folks are looking at casinos as that destination place. If they want to, they can drive down to Wind Creek or they can drive over to Mississippi. And they don't think a thing of it, and no one is saying, I want one in my backyard, man. I got to have me a casino where I can go there after work at night. I mean, I never heard anybody ever say that.
No. And it's never – we're never going to be the Las Vegas. Of course, Las Vegas, yeah. And that's not what I expect. What you're talking about is a lot of these are going to be located more proximity, a closer proximity to the inner cities where there's a larger population because we know that – people who have more problems if they live within 10 miles. You know, that's one of the statistics of a facility.
Well, and there's a lot of good statistics that indicate the negative impacts. And we could talk about that stuff all day long. But let me ask you this before we can get into it. I am of the mind we're probably not going to see a gaming bill this year. It's an election year. The legislature doesn't seem to have a lot of oomph in it right now. But what do you think? What's your perception?
I can't tell you that I would be totally surprised were one to be dropped, or one to be filed. I don't know that its potential for progress is the same on an election year with a lot of other things going on. And the willingness, as we both know, there's a lot of work to be done. If you're running for reelection, you want to get back out into your neighborhood, into your district. So I guess there's an optimism that should it be filed, it would not be progress so well.
Yeah, I don't think it would either. And, you know, and part of that's because it's still controversial no matter what. This state is very split on whether or not we should have Class 3 gaming, which is what they call it, folks. They call it Class 3 gaming. When you get into full-on casinos, Vegas-style casinos, you're talking under the law that's considered Class 3 gaming under federal law. And that's what Alabama's constitution currently prohibits. It's against the law in the state of Alabama, Ken, right?
Right. It is. And we know that, you know, we see it across these state lines. We see it in Mississippi. And not too long ago, I was in Mississippi, and I can tell you the marble and the structures, the multi-story structures that they have there for people. It's not because people are taking money out. It's because people are leaving money there.
That's exactly right. Well, so, all right. If we're looking at predictions, we're probably not going to see any, at least successful, gaming legislation this year. But if we see a repeat of what happened last year, which is what I geared my comments to when we were both down the hall speaking to the Press Association a minute ago, that bill was rife with trouble. I mean, even if we step aside from the moral issues or the societal impacts of gaming itself, that bill was just filled with all kinds of garbage. I mean, wow.
It did. It had a lot of deficiencies, and I've talked to members who recognize that. They recognize House members that, you know, of course, the bill passed in the Senate, came down to the House, and a number of House members had problems with it. They've told me that. One of the big parts that was not specified was in the enforcement provisions.
Yeah.
You know, I had one legislator tell me, you know, some of us, with the possibility that it could progress, started working on enforcement. Well, there's six pages of amendment there that have to be addressed because they recognized the bill was deficient.
Yeah.
As you mentioned today, there were people who had concerns about specifically giving illegal operators who are operating now
a
free ride, a monopoly.
Yeah.
And a generational monopoly.
Yes, exactly. I mean, so to fill all you right side ruffians in out there, the way the bill was written was everything that Republicans say they don't stand for. It would have taken the names of the actual locations and casino operators and embedded their names in perpetuity into our Constitution as the only ones constitutionally then allowed to have a casino. What that basically is a legal monopoly. That was the government picking winners and losers, saying, Victory Land, we like you. Country Crossing, we like you. You know, Trump Towers, we don't like you. So there was not going to be, in the event they ever legalized gaming, there was not going to be any competition for the best of. There was going to be the same olds who've been breaking our laws for years being rewarded for breaking our laws long enough to hang around and see their names enshrined in the law.
And the permits that were granted were specified for, I believe, a 10-year permit, and it would be imposed on the gaming commission that would be formed, that entity would have to receive a 30-year permit if it were requested.
It's ridiculous. Oh my gosh. What other business in the world has that opportunity to be literally entombed in the law such that you can't ever get rid of them?
And like I said, that was one of the bills that was filed. You know, what I'm talking about is some of the proposals that really concerned a lot of people to see that this was in paper and this was being filed.
Well, you know, in a few minutes at the top of the hour, I've got a guy calling in. I don't know if you've met Greg Davis. Okay, good dude.
Great guy.
Gotten to know him lately. He's coming on as the head of ALCAP, which is a Christian-based organization, does a lot of work in the state house. Sometimes they lobby on legislation. They also just do ministry with legislators, which is cool because it's a target-rich environment down there. We can laughingly say that because we're both recovering politicians.
It's a cross sample of America.
It is indeed, with all the foibles thereof. But no, there's some good folks down there. But he's coming on in a little bit, and we're going to talk about some of the societal impacts. But you and I can talk about that too. I mean, there are statistics that show, and one of the ones that really got my attention was, of course, gambling addictions go up exponentially in states that legalize Class 3 gaming.
Certainly.
And gambling addiction is a very big deal. It's the same as alcoholism or drug use sometimes. It has that much of a devastating effect. But one of the stats that got me was the spouses of gambling addicts, studies show, are three times more likely to commit suicide than people who are not married to gambling addicts.
Yes.
I mean, that's life.
And that's true among not only the spouse, but you have a higher rate of suicide among those who are have an addiction issue.
Yeah.
And it's one of the fastest growing addictions. I saw where nearly 1 million young adults have an addiction problem gambling.
Yeah.
And they mentioned that today. He did mention they do not deny that. They were open about that. That they recognize there's a problem, and they try to address it, and it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse because there's so much accessibility to so many ways to gamble.
Yeah.
And what concerns me, you know, Phil, we can talk about this more later, but so many things are going so well for Alabama, so good. Why do we need to bring in one more thing that's going to cause a problem for employers who need employees to show up and without having to deal with some of the problems that this type of behavior brings?
There's that, and then there's the kids. And we'll talk about that. We got to take a break right now. Copper, go ahead and move us to a break. But listen, I'm with former state representative Ken Johnson from House District 7 up yonder here in the northern parts of our state. But he and I will come back on just a minute, talk about some legislation, things we see happening. And we'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Out there saving the world one soundbite at a time, Ken Johnson. That's what we're doing.
One at a time.
Hey, man, you and I were off the air a minute ago just talking about the same topic a little bit. And, you know, one of the things that gets me that I think gets underreported sometimes is the societal impacts on our kids. You know, they talk about, we got to pass this bill. It's for the children. We'll use the money for education. Well, our education is already 50th in the nation, and they're spending more money than ever. So that's really not what they're doing. What they're trying to do is get the casino operators, you know, rich. But that being said, the impact on kids whose parents do come up with these addictions that wind up spending their entire paychecks on, you know, lottery tickets or casino operations, to the sacrifice of the kids, we even, and I made the story a little while ago in the press association gathering, that I remember when you and I were both in office, there was a piece of legislation we had to limit the use of EBT cards, you know, mm-hmm. food stamps, because we got a printout and you could see that they were being used in strip clubs, liquor stores, things they were never designed for, that were not there to feed the family. And so we made some changes to that. Right now, the last time we saw the gambling bill last year, it did not say you could not use an EBT card in a casino. And those kind of things have to be written in. But you were telling me a story about Governor Riley. What was that story you're telling?
Yeah, you may remember back in 2010 when we first got elected. And, of course, it was when we took over as Republicans after 130 years.
130 years!
And Governor Riley, I remember hearing his story about Country Crossing down in the Dothan area. And how that, you know, he had heard all kinds of stories, but one that stuck out to him and he retold was about a state trooper. And he said, Governor, he had received a letter from this state trooper asking him, Governor, you need to do something, please. And the story relayed that, or it went something like this, that trooper on a Sunday afternoon, I believe it was, or Saturday afternoon, was north of Dothan. North of Country Crossing, he came across a car pulled over on the side of the road to offer assistance. He pulled up behind them, went to the car, and got to talking to them about what, you know, is there a problem? And he was out of gas. It was a man, his wife, their two children. And he said, well, I can take you, or I can help you get some gas and try to offer assistance. And he said, I don't have any money. And as he progressed into conversation, what he found out was they had gone there on Friday, spent the night, and had lost their entire, they had cashed their check and had went through their entire paycheck. So here they were. And He said, Governor, I have to tell you, this is not the first time a similar story that...
The trooper said this?
This trooper. You know, this is not the first, and it won't be the last time. But something, something's got to give. And yeah. Please do something.
Yeah, and you know, and Governor Riley... And I know Governor Riley made his enemies, but I'll be honest with you, man. Governor Riley is one of the only governors in recent memory who's left that office with his name intact. But he went after this with a passion,
Which was upheld by the Supreme Court.
Which, by the way, that ruling indicates that yes, this is a matter that is contemplated by the law and it only has to be enforced. So you know, one of the things that really bugged me. Last year, and I found the quote. I think AL.com had the quote from Governor Ivey. In a speech, he said, "Gambling's already happening in our state, and it's hard to control. So it's best that we go ahead and legalize it, so that we can make some revenue off of it." Well, my first thought was, said that was well, that's called a complete abdication of leadership. That's, and I don't know if you want to go as hard with me on this topic or not, but. But then the legislation itself, the bill, Senate Bill 214 last year that we've been talking about, it literally had a provision written in that the legislature finds that gambling is happening illegally in the state and it would be best for the state to regulate it and to gain revenue from it. Well, it's like the legislative and executive branches were just saying, this is too hard to enforce the law. Let's just go ahead and make it legal and get some money.
Well, and Phil, you have to ask yourself this question too. If we can't enforce the laws that exist now, what makes us think that we put more laws on the books that we'll enforce them any better?
Yeah, well, there you go.
I mean, so let's add more laws that are not going to be reinforced, or enforced, rather. And I don't know that that's logical.
That would be what we call a self-licking ice cream cone.
And that's what the public has to think about when we empower these things and we make these things, you know, we're just expanding it.
We are. And truthfully, that bill also expanded government, because by standing up the Gaming Commission, you're literally growing a new branch of government, giving it additional arrest authorities that already exist in our AG's office to enforce new laws because old laws weren't being enforced. I don't know what's ever going to happen in the future, Ken. I mean, some of the folks who were, you know, more opposed to the idea left when you and I left. Mm-hmm. You and I and about a third of the legislature all decided not to run for re-election again in 2018. The new crew has, you know, there's some great folks down there, and I love them.
Sure.
And some of our old friends are still down there. But I'm also seeing sort of a softening of some of the black and whites, if you will. And I mean that in the terms of the standards. It's either black or it's white. No, they seem to be in the gray a lot of times lately. And I'm concerned about where I see some of this gambling legislation going.
Well, and let me, from their perspective, you know, not necessarily being defensive, but understanding their perspective. They're hearing from people. They're getting asked about it, whether at home or phone calls or whatever, that, you know, we want to vote. Or they're hearing polling data that says we want to vote. Well, if you ask most Alabamians, and if you ask most conservative Republican-type voters, that a lot of them represent, because we do have a Republican majority, and you ask me, do I want to vote on something? Very few of us are going to relinquish our opportunity to vote.
It's
to
my
someone.
Vote. It's my vote.
Yeah. Do I want to vote? Well, yeah, I want to vote on, I like voting on that, whether I'm going to vote yes or I'm going to vote no. But and some of the poll data that I, another poll data that I've, that's recently come out that I've, you know, I'm aware of, is that where is the priority for this type of, this ability to have, and it's minimal.
It's
like
minimal.
Only 2%. We see that it's all in how you ask the poll question.
Yeah, and like I said, you and I could do our informal poll. How many times did we ever get asked by our constituents to have more casinos? We didn't. In fact, what really happened more often than not was the opportunity for a pure lottery bill would crash and burn because the casino operators constantly tried to gerrymander those bills and get their names written into them, and it killed the bill every time.
And that's right.
That's right.
And that's what most people are thinking of.
I love you, Ken Johnson.
Thank you, brother.
State Representative Ken Johnson, a recovering politician just like me, used to serve in the State House from House District 7. A good dude all around. One of the more conservative members of the former body in the House. And glad you're on the show with me, man.
My pleasure.
All right,
it's
folks.
Great.
Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative just plain right. Coming up next, I got a friend, Greg Davis, the host of Priority Talk, and with ALCAP, continuing the same conversation. And then we'll get down to Ukraine because troops are in contact. We'll talk about that too. Phil Williams, right back.